Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
Was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my host as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 902-1ONG with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
You guys, today we have Joey Slotnick with us, best known for his roles in some big movies like Twister, Blast from the Past. He's been on a ton of TV shows, and we are so happy to have him with us. He played Tuck, right?
Right.
Season 5.
The unreal world is now about to be our real world, because we're going to interview him. I'm so excited.
Hey, here we go.
Oh my God, what the tuck? You look the same.
Joey.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Joey. Thanks for taking some time out of your day to be with us.
Oh my God, my pleasure.
You're a busy man. You've always been a busy man. I think you came out of the womb a busy man.
Well, I'd like to think that I'm as busy as everyone thinks I am, but yes, I'll take it.
Go with it.
Yeah.
Wow, it's so nice to see you. We just watched the episode in
and
season
how was that
5
for everybody.
Last week.
Unreal World, where you play the character of Tuck.
Yes.
Which was odd because our producer and co-host Amy was talking about her hemorrhoids and we're like, Tuck. Ooh.
Sure, as one does.
I know. Yeah.
Normal.
Mm-hmm. But we were enjoying your performance and you were really good at riding that bike and you looked really cute in that hat. I don't know. Have you revisited it lately? But wow.
You know, it's funny because I think I had, when I came into the audition, David Semel directed the episode. And when I came into the audition, I had said on my special skills, it said that I could ride a unicycle, which I did in college in a show. And he said, can you ride a unicycle? And I said, yeah. Yeah. And if I remember, there was a unicycle on set and I could not ride it as well and as quickly as David wanted me to. So then it became a bike.
Mixed
and I
rode it, yes.
Much better.
You know?
Yes, much more.
Because you circled
special
for
interests.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rounds there. That would have been hard to do on a unicycle.
And it was. And I was I got very nervous. I was like, oh no, I'm gonna be fired. I can't do this. And you know,
I lied. I can't ride.
I assumed you were offered that part. I assumed for some reason, which is weird, that you were friends with Priestley. Like, no?
No, Tori, that's a wonderful assumption, but no, I auditioned for that part. That was like the second or third thing I did, I think, when I was in.
I guess I know you so much. I just assumed.
Wait, it was the second or third thing when you started acting? This was the second or third thing you got?
Yeah, when I came to LA, yeah.
Wow, we're sorry.
I think I did an episode. My first thing was an episode of Ellen, and then I did some commercials, and then, yeah, 90210 was one of the first things.
Aw, I love that.
How was it walking onto set? All of us there, like not just working with one or two, like we were all there.
I mean, it was great. You know, I didn't watch the show as much as like my sister, who was a ginormous fan. So I was like, okay, you know, this is, I think I was also nervous just because it was one of my first gigs. So it was, you know, wanting to be good, wanting to everyone to like me and all those things that an actor goes through. But everyone was really kind, and I remember having a good time once I kind of got into it.
Mm-hmm. So. That's good. Wait, so when you started as an actor, you studied acting and you studied improv before you ever moved to LA or after you moved to LA?
No, I did. I went to, I started in children's theater when I was about 11, mm-hmm. and I did acting all through high school, and then I went to studied theater at SMU, Southern Methodist University.
My dad went there.
Oh, yeah? Oh.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's so funny. They had a wonderful theater program, and I did that. And then I'm from Chicago originally, so I came back to Chicago and did theater and started working with a company called Looking Glass. And yeah, and then I kind of made the move out to LA.
And how long was it once you moved that you got your first job? Do you remember?
Well, I came out for almost a year. I did it. My first movie was A League of Their Own.
Wow.
And so I was in that. And then when that came out, I came to LA and I was like, yeah, huh? And nothing happened. And I went back to Chicago for almost a year. And then I came back and I roomed with still one of my dearest, bestest friends, David Schwimmer. And we were roommates. And we were roommates during his first year of Friends.
Wow. What year?
So, wow. You were roommates with Ross. I love it.
Yeah. And so then I would, you know.
Oh, my God, you were his Joey, but yeah, literally.
Joey was Joey. And I just started auditioning for stuff and had, you know, got side pocketed by an agent, this amazing agent, Paul Rossiter. And yeah, just things started to happen. So.
Well, that's nice that you said you guys are still friends to this day. You keep in touch with him.
He's amazing.
Because that was like 30 years ago.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. Well, we're part of the same theater company. I mean, yes, it's yeah.
Good.
May I ask, why were you never on Friends?
That is a good question. That first season, I'm not sure, but then I got onto a show called The Single Guy,
with Jonathan Silverman.
Yeah, which was right after, which lasted a couple of years after kind of that same, after Friends time slot. But I don't know why I wasn't on Friends. I should have been.
Duh.
I'll have to
Did you know when you went to audition for the show that it was based off the real world San Francisco? Off the character of Puck?
Yes.
You did know.
Okay. I did know that. And so that was kind of, yeah, because I mean, the real world was huge back then, right? And that wasn't that the second season? The San Francisco was the second season, I think.
Seems like it. I have no idea, but I would think that.
You just threw some trivia in there that we don't know.
Where was the first season?
In New York.
New York? Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting that they would go to San Fran for the second season. Okay.
Yeah, I believe that was the second season.
You're right.
So then there's one scene at the beach house where you come in and you see that Brandon is dressed like your character.
Uh-huh.
And Brandon stood there laughing at you uncomfortably. For us, it was uncomfortable to watch. Do you remember the laugh? Was that a real laugh from Jason? Do you remember? He just kept going.
Amongst the million things you've done since, do you remember that?
This is what he remembers.
But we were, yeah.
Do you think his laugh was like making fun of the actor playing the character? Or do you think he was just
Jen heard a bit of his real laugh come in.
We couldn't tell.
So I don't know. I don't know. I think I remember maybe being a little nervous. Like, is he laughing at me or with me or
what? Wait, no, you guys had to redo that because it didn't line up, correct? I feel like it was like the third time you guys had to redo it. So he was laughing.
Oh, like three different takes? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because they needed that like perfect and it just like timing wise and everyone doing their thing wasn't working.
Maybe. I'm just glad I didn't mess up the take.
My God, but it kills me to think that you were in your head thinking, is Jason Pracy laughing at me? Or is he laughing at my character?
Yeah, well,
because I was thinking the same thing watching it
for 10 years. So I thought you were thinking that for 10 years.
No. And then, yeah, that was it. That was the last we saw of you, but that was certainly not the last of your extensive resume.
Illustrious career.
Wow. You work a lot. That's got to feel good.
It's good. It's good. I would like to work more, but yes, mm-hmm. It's good.
I think everyone says that.
Yes, right?
My kids would kill me if I didn't ask which voices you did in Family Guy.
Oh, Family Guy. You know, it's funny. I did the first, I was on the first season. I think maybe the second or third season. I played maybe there was a Daryl Hall and a John Oates. I played one of those guys. I played Man at Circus. You know, I played all the parts that, all the funnies that Seth didn't do. You know, Seth does like 15 or feels like 15 voices an episode. But I had some other little episode. I remember auditioning for the part of the kid that Seth Green got, but they were kind enough to kind of still bring me in and have me do some other voices. But yeah,
that's awesome.
It's a funny show.
Tell us what you've been up to. I know you just had a movie come out, didn't you?
Yes, I did this Ethan Coen film called Drive Away Dolls, this crazy, wacky, lesbian road trip comedy. And it came out in the theaters. It opened on the 23rd, I think. Yeah. Cool. And I play a hitman. And it was a great, phenomenal experience doing it.
Yeah.
And I've been lucky because Ethan is also a wonderful playwright. So I've been in about four of his plays. And we've done most of those in New York City. And then we did one at the Taper in Los Angeles, 2019, called A Play is a Poem. But so I've had this great kind of working relationship with him, and then I got to do a film.
Amazing.
Hey, everyone. So as you can imagine, we know a thing or two about makeup. We've pretty much tried it all.
And we are really liking Thrive Cosmetics because they have a full line of makeup perfect for an everyday look refresh.
They have clean ingredients that feel great on your skin, and their products are foolproof, which makes it easy for any skill level to apply.
And it's really cool to know that Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive.
Oh, I love that connection. See that? Plus, how cool is it that their high-performance formulas are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free?
Amazing. And they have zero parabens, sulfates, and phthalates.
I really believe when it comes to makeup, beautiful eyebrows are so important, don't you think? Their Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner helps you achieve your ideal eyebrow look.
And their easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like a wax and blends like a powder.
Ooh la la. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back.
Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/90210.
That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/90210 for 10% off your first order.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was booted!
Much of the joy you will find on the road comes from the person you share it with.
So you write the books, Gene, and Vlastar runs the business. I understand now, it is a wise man who marries a wiser woman.
But be careful and choose your travel partner well, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
Get down!
I'm not stupid, Gene. Something is going on, and it's high time you tell me the truth.
Freeze, Americano!
Gene, run!
So travel before it's too late. Your money will return, your time won't, and we're all too quickly approaching that final destination.
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where are you living right now? Are you calling us from New York, LA?
I'm calling you from Chicago, from Evanston, Illinois. Yeah.
From your homeland.
My home, yes.
I as well am from Illinois.
Are you? Yes. What part of Illinois?
Champaign-Urbana area. Oh, yeah. Sure. Outside of there.
Sure.
In the woods. Mm-hmm. You could have found me in the woods. But you're from the city.
Yeah. Yes, born in the city, and then I grew up in Evanston, Wilmette, and then moved around a bit. Yeah.
Nice. So you're home.
Mm-hmm.
Visiting family, I'm assuming.
Home because I live here now.
That's it. Permanent residence.
Yeah, I was in New York for, my wife and I were, she was in New York for a long time, but I was in New York for about 14 years after being in LA for like 12 years. Mm-hmm. And then, we thought this would be a good place to settle for a bit. We have a daughter and she goes to school right across the street.
How old is she?
She's seven.
Seven.
And you get to walk her to school like normal people.
Yeah.
That's like great. That. My youngest just turned seven. So seven.
Good age.
They're no longer babies and they're, little tiny adults that challenge you and make you laugh and are very clever.
Yeah, she's just grown up right in front of my eyes. It's pretty wild.
If you could say, what was your favorite TV show? Just limit it to TV shows. If you could say, what was your favorite TV show that you were ever on? What would it be? Because you were on a lot of them.
Oh, that I was ever on for an extended period or just like for a guest spot or something?
That you have a lasting memory from and also there are going to be so many more, but that you've been on.
I mean, I guess, I had a really good time on The Single Guy. That was one of my first things that was big and that was really fun. I did have a good experience on Boston Public, this David Kelly show, but high school.
Oh, yeah.
Good high school teacher. That was a great experience. Curb Your Enthusiasm. That was just one episode, but that was really fun. I mean,
Oh my God. What did you do on Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I played, Larry had an assistant and I played her boyfriend and she was really concerned with my character and not really doing her work. So Larry had to come to my work to try and get me to.
Oh, the best.
Love that.
I love Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Same.
Yeah. It's pretty fabulous.
Well, those are all good options. Great shows.
On Nip Tuck, who'd you play?
I played a very bad.
I like bad.
Doctor named Meryl Bobolet, who was
you
in
remember?
Love with,
good job.
God, we're going to. I can't believe I just found that name in my head.
Yeah, that was great.
Yes, who was? Not the most up and up plastic surgeon. Mm. Well, no, I think there was a while. He got a little waylaid. But yes.
Waylaid? Why? What did he do?
Because he started to do, I think there was an episode where he was trying to work on a dog. Like there was a Nip Tuck maybe that he had to do with a dog or something. I would have to go back in my Rolodex of shows.
And he was a bad doctor.
Yeah, he wasn't great.
Bad guy?
But he was full of confidence, so that was good.
I want to know this. I want to know, since you've done so many different forms, different ways of, acting on theater, in the theater and in TV shows and in movies, which is your favorite platform?
Theater. No doubt about it. Yeah.
And why?
Just that's how I started doing a play. There's nothing better than doing a play. There's nothing better than rehearsing for 4 or 5 weeks with a group of artists, performing, it's always different every night. And there's that strange, wonderful repetition, the illusion of the first time, and you're doing it again as though you've never done it before, you've never said the words before, you've never heard the words coming out of your partners before, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's something beautiful about this kind of shared experience. And yes, you can have it in a movie theater, certainly, but when it's live and it's happening, it's just the best.
There's nothing best. Like it. I've always wanted to feel that feeling. I've never done theater, but
you should.
A lot of people have said that.
Great. Yeah.
The energy and the audience and
the camaraderie, you said, that just like common goal that you just have as a cast every night. And you have to depend on one another to make it happen. It's not just about one person. Yep.
No, completely.
Mm-hmm. And there's no cutting. There's no reset.
There's no cutting.
Exactly.
No, that's the best part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's great.
I love that.
Well, you're awesome.
It's so good to catch up with you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is really fun.
Tell Illinois hello for me.
I will definitely do that. I'll shout it.
Shout it to them. I love that. Thank you for coming back and sharing your Tuck memories with us.
Sure. Now I want to kind of go back and watch the episode.
It's cute. You should.
It is fun.
It's fun to go back.
And if anyone wants to slide into your DMs, we're big fans of that. At Instagram, it's at King Slotty.
That's me.
S-L-O-T-T. Yep.
I was looking at you thinking, I would let you be my plastic surgeon. Like if you walked into the room, I'd be okay with it.
Appreciate it. All right, wait a minute. This is another career. I got to think about this now.
Wow. Look into that. Does not say that lightly. So
yeah.
She likes it.
Oh, thank you so much, Joey.
Thanks, you too. Joey. I appreciate it.
We'll see ya.
Ciao.
Good to see you.
You too. Bye. Thank you.
Bye. I mean, he's trustable, that face.
I'm a fan.
You fanned out for a second?
Yeah, a little bit. Like
it is like he's that guy that you look at and you've seen him a million places.
Yes.
And everywhere. Yeah, he's cool. That was fun.
That was great.
Thanks, Joey Slotnick, for your interview.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my hosts as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, was good!
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.